joining brothers and sisters at Franconia Mennonite Church and beyond. I'm coming to you from 8 Rosie Ridge in Tylersport up on the ridge. I woke up this morning with a fever, and I just didn't think it would be a good idea for me to come and preach like ordinary. Yesterday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, I began feeling not real well and woke up with a fever this morning. So I think it's better for me to stay home and try to come to you remotely like this. I do plan to get a coronavirus test. I don't know whether it is that or whether this is something else. And I know this might be a source of anxiety for some of you who had contact with me in meetings. I'll be glad to share this information with you when I get more clarity on things. Yeah, this year has been a marathon, and it just continues to go. A marathon, this is not a sprint. As a young man, I liked sprints. You could explode and you can get done in a hurry. This year, 2020, has been a marathon, not a sprint. And we've just come through a very agitated week, wondering what's happening with the elections. There is half of the country that is really disgusted and disappointed and worrying about the future. There's half that are jubilant. We are a divided country. We are almost two countries. And this concerns me as much as anything. And I hope that we as a congregation can continue to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ as the one to whom our highest allegiance belongs. I'm going to try to share my screen with you here. We are working with 1 John 5, 1 to 13 this morning. And I'm going to try to keep this briefer than usual, just because I'm coming to you from our study here at home. And I wish you well. I'm very sorry to miss the parent-child dedication this morning. I look forward to those kinds of events. Those are wonderful times of rejoicing and sharing. In the midst of the marathon, these are times of refreshment. Yeah, let me share my screen with you here. Okay. All right. There we are. You know, in a time like this with this marathon and the alarming news about the pandemic, the agitation about the election, and just tensions in homes, kinds of unpredictabilities in school, everybody seems to be more on edge, more angry, less patient, more judgmental. And I think this is just the landscape for right now. We really don't need much of a reminder that as Isaiah 40 says, this is quoted by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter, Isaiah 40 says, "For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall." We don't really need much reminding of that. We're reminded of that every single day of the year. But I do think we gather together on Sunday morning to be reminded of the phrases on both sides of that. For you, as children of God, have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you, and this is the word that I want to share with you this morning. We're concluding 1 John, the series on 1 John, the fifth chapter today, and we've had that text read for us, at least 13 verses of that. And next week, this series will conclude with Pastor Josh looking at two of the shortest books in the whole Bible, 2 and 3 John. This morning, we're looking at children of God. What does it mean? DNA tests now have surprised a lot of people that their biological parents are different than what they thought. Well, for our spiritual DNA, what is it that identifies us as children of God? Is there a spiritual DNA that is really identifiable? And I'd like to share what I call three strands of spiritual DNA drawn from this passage here in 1 John 5:1-13. The first strand of spiritual DNA is that we are children of God. We are secure and overcoming children of God. We do not need to be afraid. I'm not anxious about my health this morning. I just want to say that. I'm not anxious at all. And I really feel secure in the comfort and the care of God and the love of others. This is one of the characteristics of being a child of God. We are secure and overcoming. And so in these verses here, from verses 1 to 5, they sort of unfold like links in a chain of this first strand of DNA. The one who believes that Jesus is the Christ, is the Messiah, is born of God. Actually, the real literal translation is begotten of God. That's an old English word. Begotten means it means fathered. It means engendered by the Father. In ancient cultures, they thought that the Father actually played more of a substantive role in planting the seed of a child that was born. And so when we see this phrase, begotten of God, it's really speaking about being a child born out of God. So those who believe Jesus is the Messiah are begotten of God, fathered by God, born out of God as his child. Those who believe that Jesus is the Messiah, they're born out of God as his child. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. And then the next link in the chain is in verse 2, this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. Carrying out God's commands. And his commands are not burdensome. They're not heavy. This is love for God, to obey his commands. For everyone begotten of God overcomes the world. Here is this security, this promise of victory. And it speaks here, the victory that has overcome the world is our faith. You know the old gospel song, faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. It comes from this particular verse right here. And then who is it that overcomes the world? Who is the overcomer in verse 5? Who is it that overcomes? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Comes the world. It comes from this particular. Good morning, brothers and sisters at Franconia Mennonite Church and beyond. I'm coming to you from morning, brothers and sisters at Franconia Mennonite Church and beyond. I'm coming to you from God overcomes the world. Here is this security, this promise of victory. And it speaks here, the victory that has overcome the world is our faith. You know the old gospel song, faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. It comes from this particular verse right here. And then who is it that overcomes the world? Who is the overcomer in verse 5? Who is it that overcomes? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, which really takes us back to the beginning. This belief in Jesus, this surrender to Jesus, this giving our lives again and again to Jesus is really what it is that gives us the security and the power to be safe in God's family. Martin Luther, well-known song, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. I heard a story that Larry, Pastor Larry, told when we were in Liberia. It's a story about his wife, Doris. And I checked with Doris about this story this week and got permission from her to share this story. When she was a young girl, she's the oldest in the family. When she was a young girl, they lived on a farm. And her mother would give her a message to go tell her father, who was working in the barn. And it was very likely in the wintertime when there was more darkness than there was light. And the light from the house didn't extend out far enough to the light from the barn. So there was a space of darkness in between there. And she was afraid that someone would get her in that darkness. We understand these kinds of fears as children. We understand them as adults as well. Fears are really often irrational and come upon us in ways that are hard to control. But her father pulled Doris aside and said, you know, when you go through that space of darkness, sing songs to God at the top of your lungs. So she said, that's what I did. I sang my way through the darkness into the light. That's her phrase. I think it's a very poetic phrase. Wonderful. I sang my way through the darkness into the light. That's the kind of security that we have as children of God, that God's care for us. And as we give voice to praise, as we give voice to singing, as we give voice to our trust in God, we find ourselves strengthened by God. The wonderful passage here that I have changed just a little bit from Romans chapter 8, you'll see that I added some words, but it says much the same thing. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or danger, famine or nakedness or danger or sword or pandemic or immoral government or financial ruin or cancer or conflict? No. In all these things, the Apostle Paul says, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Let me just read this again. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So that's the first strand of DNA, secure and overcoming. The second strand is true and genuine children of God. In the next verses here, verses 6 and following, the Apostle John goes on and makes some rather strange kinds of comments about witnesses. In the space of 5 verses here, 6 through I think it's 11 or 10, there are 10 times that he uses the word witness or testimony or testify. It's the idea of a courtroom scene. He is lining up evidence, lining up witnesses that support each other from God that Jesus is the Messiah. He identifies 3 witnesses: water, blood, and spirit. Now, I know this is kind of weird. What's going on here? Well, we'll try to explain it a little bit more, but first, the three, water, blood, and spirit. Why three? Because a testimony of one witness in ancient moral and legal life of Israel was not enough to be trustworthy. You needed to have at least two or three witnesses. And so here, the Apostle John is identifying three witnesses from God that Jesus is the Messiah. The water of his birth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Also the water at his baptism. You are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. Blood is the suffering on the cross, the saving blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus was baptized by blood in the crucifixion. Another witness to his Messiah character and identity. And then the third is the witness of the Spirit. Again and again, we see that the Spirit came out upon Jesus, moved by the Spirit. He ministered. He went into places of testing. He was very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Well, what does all this have to do, this water, blood, and spirit? It's a bit weird, maybe obscure. What difference does it make? But I'd like to tell you a brief story, why this verse has such deep meaning for Mennonites. On January 21 in 1525, the church council in Zurich, Switzerland, had enough with some of the young radical students who were making a case that only believers should be baptized. Not babies, only those who confessed faith in Jesus Christ. And this was a great threat to the city council of Zurich. It felt like the social cohesion that held people together as a Christian country was going to be coming apart if people made their own decision about whether to be baptized or not. But these young radicals insisted that this was the biblical way to do this. Well, the church council, not the church council, the city council forbade them, said, no, you can't do this anymore on pain of imprisonment. Well, what did this group of a dozen or so young radicals do that very night, January 25, in a room in the city? There they baptized each other. This was a capital offense. They were called Anabaptists. Anabaptist means rebaptist. And so this was an accusation that was held against them, and many of them were banished out of the city. Less than 2 years later, Felix Mons was drowned there in the Limmat River in Zurich. And that's our family there with a plaque where he was drowned. He was 28 years old. Remarkable. Well, this baptism, this witness of water, blood, and spirit have been connected to baptism in Anabaptist circles for a long time. The current confession of faith of the Mennonite Church says, believers are baptized into Christ and his body by the Spirit, water, and blood. By the Spirit at baptism, the Holy Spirit comes upon us as we open our lives for his movement. Water, whether by sprinkling, by pouring, or by immersion, we give ourselves to the Lordship of Christ. And then the third witness is a willingness to suffer. This was very important for early Anabaptists who suffered a lot of martyrdom. And I don't think we should forget about that today. I expect that in coming decades, here in the West, we will experience some of the kind of persecution as Christians that some of our brothers and sisters have experienced around the world. So let us, as children of God, be true and genuine, willing to witness by the Spirit, by the water, and by blood. The third strand is fully and eternally alive. This is verses 11 to 13. this sort of sums up the whole document of 1 John, and basically says, this is the testimony in a capsule. God has given us eternal life, not sometime in the future. God has given us eternal life now. So whoever has the Son has the real deal, lasting life, stronger than death. Whoever rejects the Son rejects this life. I write these things to you who believe. Why? So that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. Again, present, in the present tense, not just in the future tense. You have eternal life. It's already begun growing in you. It's available to anyone who reaches out to Jesus Christ for help. We often think of heaven and hell as future realities, eternal life, eternal death, as realities that begin only when our hearts stop pumping blood and our lungs cease to breathe and our brains shut down. This passage here in verses 11 to 13 really speaks about the reality of eternal life beginning now. It's already begun. I write this so that you know in the present tense that you have, present tense, eternal life. So eternal life in some ways has already begun for the children of God. It's begun in our hearts when we surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ. It's begun in our church where we confess our sins to each other and we repent and are renewed and rejoice in praising God. It has begun in the world, wherever we are eager to show and tell our neighbors about the good news of Christ. A baby in a mother's womb is already alive. This is why we oppose abortion. A baby in a mother's womb is already alive and in the world, even though the womb hides the world from the baby's eyes. In the same way, eternal life has already begun for the children of God. Through the power of God and our faith in Christ, eternal life has already attached itself in our lives and begun to grow. Just like an unborn child can hear the muffled sounds of the world outside, so we as children of God can hear the sweet, though far-off hymn that hails a new creation, because it's already echoing in our soul. A nurse I knew in a former congregation was a hospice nurse, and she got into many homes where people were in their last days on this earth. And she observed that Christians die well. The light of heaven, the love of heaven, the songs of heaven, and most importantly, the life of heaven was already familiar to them. And they could release hold of this world with less resistance and reluctance. They already know who has blazed a trail in front of them. Three strands. Children of God, secure and overcoming. True and genuine. Witnesses, blood, spirit, water. Fully and eternally alive. In just a few moments, we will see parents, will participate with parents in parent-child dedication. This is exactly very fitting. I wish so much I could be there. But we do this because we want our own biological children to become children of God. Jesus said, let the children come to me, because to them, to such as these, belongs the children of God. Whoever wants to enter the kingdom of God must become like a little child. And so, even though we are in a marathon in 2020, and I expect that the winter is going to be a tough time for the virus and for other issues, even though we are in a marathon, not a sprint, as children of God, we can be secure and overcoming. We can be true and genuine with our witness, willingness to suffer, willingness to speak of the Spirit, willingness to witness for Christ through our baptism. And we also have eternal life beginning to attach itself into our lives and being born for the future in God's presence. God bless you all.